item is our annual audit presentation.
Thank you. Kevin Smith, Audit Partners at Knight Bailey, and we have performed the audit for the fiscal year September 30th, 2017. I'll just go over just a couple of things to give you an idea of where you're at the end of September for 2017. First of all, most important, we issued an unmodified or clean opinion. And through the audit process, we did not have any adjustments, and we did not issue a management comment letter. This is significant, meaning that your records are in good condition and that you're able to make decisions during the year. If we have adjustments at the end of the year, then that's a concern for the board members as you're making decisions that maybe your records aren't complete. But we didn't find that to be the case. They're in good order. As far as the financial statements themselves, a net position increased about $277,000 in total, and your ending net position is approximately $2 million, with about $500,000 of that being invested in capital assets, net of your liabilities, your capital assets, and then the restricted amount is about $1.5 million. So that's basically what you have as restricted for future projects that you have planned. Also, there were no new pronouncements, so no changes to the disclosure or the financial statements themselves, similar to what they were in the prior year. So with that, I'll open up to any questions that you may have of me regarding the audit process or the financial statements.
I was just curious, Kevin, with the changes in the laws last year, how did that factor into the work that you did this year, the legislature's requirements?
You know, and there were some specifically to urban renewal districts, but you know, what you have done, you know, currently and according to the state statutes, you really didn't have any effect on you or your reporting requirements. Fortunately, there were some others that it did, but yours is a little bit unique, and just because the projects that you're participating in right now are doing, it didn't have any effect.
So according to that, we're doing everything correctly?
Right.
Any
more
comments? Questions?
Done right when Kevin does it.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for all the work that you do for us and for keeping us on track every year. We greatly appreciate it. And also the manner in which you work with our accounting firm to keep us on a monthly informative schedule. That's appreciate it. And we have a resolution.
Yes.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
So, along with that, we have the resolution 17-056.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is resolution 17-056. It's a resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency in Meridian, Idaho, accepting and approving the 2017 annual audit report for the Meridian Development Corporation, authorizing and directing the administrator to take all necessary action required regarding the annual audit report and providing an effective date.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'm hunting for the resolution here.
I move that we approve resolution 17-056 as read into the record by council.
Second.
Second
by Commissioner Vlasic. I heard him first. I'm sorry. Okay. Any comments or questions regarding the resolution? Okay. Then we will take vote. Commissioner Winter.
Aye.
Commissioner Byrd.
Aye.
Commissioner DeVere.
Aye.
Commissioner Ricker?
Aye.
Commissioner Besson?
Aye.
Commissioner Vlasic?
Aye.
And the chair is an aye as well.
you.
We also thank our absent treasurer, who unfortunately is ill today, who has done a good job in the commission. Thank you. Okay, now we're actually item 7.
Pine Avenue. So in your packets, I have included a table for our discussion today. The project went out to bid in November, and the bids were opened at the beginning of December. Just to remind the board, at this point, we had saved specifically for Pine Avenue, which included ACHT right-of-way construction and construction administration, new landscaping construction, and historical lighting for Pine Avenue, which is from Meridian Road to roughly around 5th and 6th Avenue. We saved a total of $682,000 over the last few fiscal years, and that was based on cost estimates that we received from ACHG, from the city, and also from our engineering firm contractor. The actual bids came in a little bit lower, which is one shocker, yes, which is very, very exciting. We budgeted, just to walk through the table, for ACHG right-of-way construction and construction administration, we budgeted $189,000 based on the numbers that we received from ACHG. That actual bid came in just a little bit higher due to right-of-way costs that they had to acquire, but it was roughly within $5,000. New landscaping construction, we budgeted $205,000 for the entire project. The bid, and I just want to make note that this does not include the trees at this point, so the bid is at $134 and change. We will need to have a separate agreement with the city, Parks and Rec, for the 65 trees that we discussed, I think, about a year ago with Mike Barton. Right now, we don't have a cost for those trees because that part of the project will not occur until early 2019. So right now, the high cost is roughly $500 per tree. At 65 trees is about $32,500, but that will be a separate agreement, not included in this number. And then the historical lighting component, our engineering firm gave us a cost estimate of $288,000, and the bid came in at $176,000. And so I think that's a really great number. So just looking at the Pine Avenue total, we are coming in at $504,000, so well under budget. We added the bid alternate in for the Main Street lighting because we have the design completed. There's an opportunity to be able to take advantage of ACHD's construction administration and also the contractor being out on site to potentially get this in and have a cost savings. With this last year's fiscal year budget, we put in just a placeholder of $20,000 because the board just didn't feel like it was a priority based on other projects that we had coming forth, but we chose to go ahead and put it into the bid to see where it might come in, and that this way we can make a decision today whether or not we felt like this was a project we should move forward with. So just for reference, we had a construction estimate from Keller & Associates of $240,000 for this phase if we were to move forward. The bid came in at $122,000, half, which I think is significant. So if you were to add the $20,000 in to what we have budgeted, we have a total budget of $702,000. With the actual bid, including the bid alternative for the lighting for Main Street, we're at $626,000. So we're still well underneath our budget for just the Pine Avenue portion. And even when you add in the additional $32,000 for the trees, we're still underneath that $682,000. So my recommendation to this board is, one, we need to make a motion to accept the bid for the Pine Avenue project because the ACHD Commission has to award the bid tonight. So we need to agree with this. And then second, I'm going to need a separate motion to whether to accept or to deny moving forward with the bid alternative for the Main Street lighting. My recommendation is we take advantage of these cost savings. And I'm happy to stand for any questions you may have. And I included, just so you can kind of see how it was broken down, for all the different components of the different project. It's not just MDC related for Pine Avenue, just so you can see where the different costs came in.
Well, thank you for that fantastic report. And special thanks to the people at ACHD who went out to bid on this project for what they came back to. Before we read the resolution, are there any comments or questions? And do we have a representative here?
No, Mr. Chairman, Cody Homan, who is the project manager for ACHG, is out of the office today. So basically, he and I worked through this.
So if anyone has any questions, we can address them.
Yes.
Any questions or comments? Any compliments on the bid?
I'm super excited.
We haven't seen it. We've really been getting hit in the city. Not just so busy, we're just, everybody's so busy, they're just putting numbers in there. Our people have no way of even guessing what it's going to be.
Well, we came in with very conservative figures to start with and work from there. So it was a good starting point.
Absolutely. We were building contingencies into every estimate that we were getting by about 20% just to make sure that we were covered.
We just had a budget amendment for over 28% last night on a deal that we had to have. The cost is good. I mean, nothing you can do about it.
Right.
Okay, Todd, so the first resolution, 057, is for the Marne Avenue?
Correct. Are we separated out?
Yes.
Yes. So this, Mr. Chairman, is Resolution 17-057, Resolution of Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency approving the bids for the MDC portion of the project cost for certain improvements which are part of the ACHD Pine Avenue project, authorizing the chairman and vice chairman and secretary and administrator to take all necessary action required to implement this resolution, facilitate payment of the MDC portion of the associated costs, and providing an effective date.
Now, are there any questions? Go ahead and call for the vote. Commissioner Winder.
Hi. Do we have a...
No, I made a motion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll do it.
I'm like, did I miss?
No, I...
I made a motion, please.
I wanted to hammer it. I'm plowing right on.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we approve Resolution number 17-057 as written.
Second by Commissioner Conklin. Thank you. Now, are there any comments or questions? Okay, now we'll vote. Commissioner Winder?
I'll hold on.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Winder?
Aye.
Commissioner Winder?
Aye.
Commissioner McCarville?
Aye.
Commissioner Ritter?
Aye.
Commissioner Bennett?
Aye.
Commissioner Vlasic?
Aye.
And the tangled tongue person from China. Thank you all very much. And so our next item is the second part of this, the Main Street lighting bid. And you've already commented on it pretty much. Ashley, is there anything more you'd like to add?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Resolution 17-058, Resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency in Meridian, Idaho, approving the bids for the historic lighting improvements on Main Street from Pine Avenue to Carlton Avenue, authorizing the chairman and vice chairman and secretary and administrator to take all necessary action required to implement this resolution and facilitate payment of the MDC portion of the associated costs and providing an effective date.
Approve Resolution 17-058 as written and directed by council.
Second by Commissioner. Any comments, questions, concerns? Okay. Commissioner Winder?
Aye.
Commissioner Byrd?
Aye.
Commissioner DeVere?
Aye.
Commissioner McCarville?
Aye.
Commissioner Ritter?
Aye.
Commissioner Bevin?
Aye.
Commissioner Vlasic?
Aye.
Great project for our downtown, and it's great to see it finally coming to fruition. Okay. Item 9 is our CDBG subrecipient agreement for the downtown sidewalk project.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we are extending our agreement for the CDBG funds with the city through the end of March of 2018. The design is finished. However, we have run into an issue with a private property owner who is not wanting to give us an easement on a property that we need for drainage. So we are exploring opportunities with ACHD to look at alternative drainage options and to figure out what we can do moving forward. So we just don't know how much time that's going to take us, unfortunately. And so we're asking for this extension with the city. And then the next item on the agenda is just extending that same time frame to our consultant as well for his agreement. Again, we are finished with design. We're meeting with ACHD tomorrow to start talking about those options, but we do have a significant property owner who is unwilling to grant us an easement at this time.
Ashley, could you explain a little bit more in terms of the time frame, how this will affect the overall project?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know at this time because we just don't know what options we have available to us through ACHD.
Okay, so this is merely an extension in order
to figure out
negotiations.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Resolution 17-059, a resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency in Meridian, Idaho, approving the Amendment 2 to the subrecipient agreement dated April 26, 2017, for receipt and use of CDBG funds for the design of certain sidewalk improvements between the Meridian Development Corporation and the City of Meridian, authorizing execution of the amendment by the Chairman or Vice Chairman and Secretary, authorizing any changes to the amendment, authorizing the administrator to take all necessary action required to implement the amendment, and providing an effective date.
And just to emphasize, all of the key partners who are involved with this are still in agreement about moving forward. It's just the few glitches that we need to clean up.
Yes.
That were unexpected. Okay, any comments or questions?
I have a comment that I'm not going to make it.
Okay. Public comments? Okay, let's have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve Resolution 17-059 as read into the record by council.
Do you have a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Ricardo. Any comments?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, as I mentioned in my discussion, it's only to move that date in their contract with us as well. So just to match the extension with the city.
Okay. So nothing new in this, right?
No.
Any questions for Ashley?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Resolution 17-060, resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency in Meridian, Idaho, approving the Amendment 1 to the agreement dated June 27, 2017 for engineering design services for the design of certain sidewalk improvements between the Meridian Development Corporation and Civil Survey Consultants, authorizing execution of the amendment by the Chairman or Vice Chairman and Secretary, authorizing any technical changes to the amendment, authorizing the administrator to take all necessary action required to implement the amendment, and providing an effective date.
Any comments on this
I will start, and then I will also defer to the rest of my PR committee for assistance. So, as you all know, we have been working on the scope of work with Davies Moore for the downtown video that we have been discussing for at least a year now. And one of the things that we have been negotiating is the cost and the fee, because initially the cost came in well over $60,000 just for the video alone. Just to remind the board, when we asked the board if you would be willing to give us bumper rails in terms of costs to work with Davies Moore back in September, the board declined to do that and asked the PR committee to negotiate. And so what we have done effectively is tell Davies Moore between the vignettes and the video, we cannot go over an additional $30,000. And so based on that number that we gave them, they have given us the proposal that is in your board packets today, detailing what it would take to do the video and do it well and make sure it is a quality of a product that we would be very proud of. And also to be able to do the vignettes, which we also think would serve a lot of different values for communicating our mission with MDC. So total, it's right at $30,000. Broken separately, the video is $18,693, and the vignettes is $11,300. So that was the big sticking point to being able to moving forward. I think the board felt very comfortable in previous discussions with the actual outline and the scope of work for what we were going to be able to accomplish. But I would turn this over to Commissioners Bevin or McCarville for any further comments that they might want to make.
I would just want to reiterate what Ashley said, that we did go back to them twice asking for, you know, them to reconsider the price that we can propose to the board today. And I think that they were very generous in coming back with concessions that they're taking a reduction on their own hands to be able to work with us.
All know where the original bid was, and working with Davies Moore, we said, here's the number, find a way to make it work, and I think they did a great job of doing that. And on a personal note, I've done projects like this in the private sector, and the original bid that we got is typically in the private sector what we paid, so I think they've done a phenomenal job of getting us to the number that we need to be at.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, and I'll let my committee members chime in as well too, we are going to put together a strategic communications plan centered around this. Basically, though, it will be worked, we will work in partnership with the chamber, with the city, with our various partner agencies to be able to make sure that this is being able to be distributed as far and wide to the audiences that are needed. This will also live on our website as well. This will be part of our overall marketing package. This was part of that three-legged stool that we talked about a couple of years ago from that marketing plan that Rising Creative put together for us. And, you know, we're going to be able to utilize this in a myriad of ways.
For both economic development and promotion.
Absolutely. And understanding of who MDC is and what we do.
Mr. Chairman, this is Resolution 17-041. Resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, approving the 2017 Task Order 2 Agreement for Video Preparation Services under the Professional Services Agreement between the Meridian Development Corporation and Marketing Media Group, DBA Davies Moore. Authorizing execution of the Task Order Agreement by the Chairman or Vice Chairman and Secretary. Authorizing any technical changes to the Task Order Agreement. Authorizing the Administrator to take all necessary action required to implement the Task Order Agreement and provide an effective date.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. McCarver, I motion that we approve Resolution Number 17-041 as written by Council.
Second
by Mr. Bevin. Any comments or questions?
Mr. Chair.
Mr.
Several times by now. And we've got similar to this for less on the public side. And this is taxpayer dollars. It's something we need, but I think it's a lot of money, and I will be voting no.
Any other comments?
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Bird.
We've about had a heart attack over the one we had, the police one, and it's quite a bit cheaper than this, and I don't know if you guys have had a chance to see it, but it's so professional, it's fantastic. I can't support it because of the expense. I realize that we want a first class thing and nothing else, but we've got to. That's a lot of money for a video.
Any other comments?
I would just add that, when we initially sat down with the different, I think there were three that pitched to the committee. We originally did kind of give a much lower figure of what we felt was in the budget of this commission. And we were a little surprised as well. We have spent $10,000 already on just the vetting process of the design of it. So I think if we look at an alternative option, we need to keep that in mind that if we go with a different vendor, that $10,000 has still been spent with one company. So even if we were to come in at $15,000 to $20,000 with another company, we'd still be investing about the same. So I think the question is do we still want a video, or do we really want to start over? In conversations with them, we as a committee understand how high that price is. We do, and so we got it down as low as we can, and then it's kind of up to the board to vote for it or not.
And Mr. Chairman, if I might add, one of the things that the board could consider is, okay, well, we're not going to do the vignettes. We'll do the video, and that alone, and that'll be the $18,000 versus the overall $30,000. That was one of the reasons why we asked for some bumper rails from the board to understand where your pain threshold was, because we didn't really have a good understanding with that discussion. And unfortunately, we didn't get feedback. And so we did the absolute best we could with what we knew to be true. And so that is an option, is to maybe pick one to do and move on that way as well, too. So just for consideration.
Mr. Chair, didn't we all agree, though, that the vignettes were important to everybody on this group, though? I mean, if we were going to do it, we go in wholeheartedly and not do it half-assed.
Yeah.
Yes, we had quite a lengthy discussion. You're correct, Commissioner Blossom. I think it was like 2 or 3 meetings ago where we discussed things in quite detail when we had the producers here. And we went over. Now, I think one of the mitigating factors for the cost is the fact that the lifespan of the promotional materials would be over the lifespan of this board, which is about 7 or 8 years. And if you look at it in that way, if you look at it on a future year mitigating cost, it kind of made it a much more reasonable that it isn't something that is time certain, that it's only good for this year, it's good for ongoing years as well. So, and hopefully it reaches a very large audience through the internet worldwide. So anyway, any other comments? Okay, take a vote.
We haven't had a motion.
No.
Okay, sorry.
Aye.
Commissioner Bird?
No.
Commissioner DeBeard?
Aye.
Commissioner McCardle?
Aye.
Commissioner Ritter?
No.
Commissioner Bevan?
Aye.
Commissioner Blasek?
Aye.
And the chair is an aye as well. Okay. Okay. Item 12, the update on Main and Broadway. Josh, you're up. Yeah.
Thanks for the order.
Would you start by maybe introducing yourselves? I think
yes.
We know Josh. We don't know you.
Great.
I'm
Josh Edwards, Esquire, the writer. By the way, I just have to praise you guys. We'll get to shift the mood of this whole thing. So at the vault, we found, so we have music that plays in there. Right now it's holiday music. But we found the library of photographs for that construction project, like going back to like what it looked like, the siding on it, to the scaffolding, to the... It was a real dump. I didn't remember, I'm getting old and gray, when you guys get to be my age, you'll experience that. But it was a great project. All the customers have been seeing that. And like, wow, it really was. You had some vision there. I was like, well, let's just be in. I think a lot of people want to see that. I'm located. I'm Josh.
I'm Caleb. Nice to see you guys again with Pacific Companies. And with me is John Renderson with Renderson Companies and Walt Lindgren with his architectural firm. And this is part of the team that I work with on a lot of my projects and also specifically some of the urban renewal work that we're doing in Eagle. And so that's, we're here today to give you guys an update.
We are in the midst of environmental inspections on 703. So that report process takes a number of weeks. So they go beat up the inside of it, and make sure that there's a proper handling of any kind of materials that are in there. So we expect that we're going to have that report back in January, and then we will be tearing that building down. So we'll make sure we give you guys some notice. I know we're working with one individual right now that has been a coordination with Treasure Valley Children's Theater to get the vault door out of there. They've got a benefactor that's given them some money for that. We'll be providing actually details as we get that report back and we get timelines and bids and all that stuff. So the teardown will happen in the first part of the year, which is fun. On the new project front, through a number of conversations, I asked kind of our corporate team here to start putting together some elevations of what we think, based on our sessions last time we were with you guys. What would this project look like, given the fact that as we took this small incremental phased approach, which we couldn't get to pencil if we take a much larger view of this thing and bring in some folks that have experience in doing that, what would that project look like? I think I probably asked too much of Caleb to get all that done by this meeting, but I think it was about 1:05 p.m. yesterday or something like that. I got an email that had those elevations. So we've brought those with us today to kind of give you guys an idea. We have done two versions of that because we're still working on the property that wraps around the Heritage Building, Dave Klein property, as well as the owner from Emmett. So we basically have a design that incorporates us being able to acquire that piece and include that in the construction, and we have a proposal that we can pitch around it. We're not going to wait anymore. I think that our desire would be to have that piece of property and for us to acquire that and include it in there, but at the end of the day, like you guys are experiencing with that drainage thing, if property owners aren't interested in participating, I can't force them to. So we'll deal with the dirt that we have. Is there...
No, I'd just say that if this is the time that you're having an executive session scheduled for this, and I don't know how you guys want to proceed. What we're prepared to do today is just share with you designs of a larger project, and I don't know if you guys want to do that now or have that be done in more of an executive session because it involves property not owned by a public agency at this time. So I'll defer to you guys. We personally don't really care, but we're happy to go forward and just show you what we've come up with at this point and let you see how to move.
Mr. Chairman, we have the agenda item, or the executive session note below this item on the agenda, but it, the only aspect that we can talk about, so to speak, in an executive session, and again, you don't have to, you can, is whether it involves an acquisition of an interest in real property that a public agency doesn't own. So if we're not talking about the MDC acquiring any property, then it wouldn't be appropriate for executive session. If that's an aspect of what we're talking about, then it would be. On top of that, it's still up to whether you would like to go into executive session or not. And this is really an update, so we're not talking about, I think, any formal decision on things at this point. So I'll just lay that out for the board.
Okay, I guess the basic question is an executive session needed based on what you want to talk about?
Well, we personally do not have any concerns because this is not, you know, I don't live in this world of worrying about this issue. So I'm just here to help make a project happen and, you know, here to share with you what we've come up with. And I think it's really, I think what we hope to show you today is sort of for you all to make a policy decision about whether to consider expanding this project to really the remainder or most of the remainder of the block. That's what we're here to talk about and show you today to give you ideas about how that could look.
Well, our involvement with you is really just with the two buildings that we own.
That's right.
And we already have an agreement in place regarding those. So we're not quite sure how what you're proposing today would involve us with other properties.
Yeah.
Or if it does, in your mind, involve us.
Well, I would just say it involves certainly the city as a public agency, and it might involve you in the future, but there's no proposal, this is really more of a, what's the project scope look like, potentially, and there's no request at this time, so that's the situation.
In your mind, though, can you move forward with your larger scope without our involvement in any of those other properties?
I believe the answer would be yes to some, but not when you say us.
Meridian Development Corporation.
Yes.
Board.
So, I mean, in one case, you've got the city of Meridian certainly involved, mm-hmm. and in the other case, you potentially could have MDC involved. But like I said, the idea of today is to give you guys a scope of what's possible on this site in the aggregate, and to the extent that you have concerns about whether or not the acquisition of real property comes into play in the future, then that to me is what would warrant going into a private conversation.
Yeah, that's the way we would see it as well. The way I understand it, and I'm going to defer to our board members who were at that meeting where we discussed originally, where we first met you, Caleb, when
yes.
we first discussed this, was that as developers, you were going to approach the private owners and you were going to approach the city regarding the city hall, neither of which involved this board. So that's, I guess, where we need to know where we stand now in terms of what this board needs to do, if anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would defer to the members here because we will do what we will do. We didn't have any intentions of asking you guys to approach anybody else. We were approaching everybody. And so that's the situation.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would think that we don't need to go into an executive session. We're not being asked to acquire any property. And so I think if we could jump into the update, that would be wonderful.
So what we'll do today, then, is as part of the update, we're going to pass out some materials for you guys to have. And I will have the board here.
That's where we were. It was kind of swapping around the edge of it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, does everybody have a copy?
Yes.
Move around this way to make it easier.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay, well, so what we've done is the first page you guys have, there's some elevations on the front page, which we can come back to those in a moment. But what we tried to do with what we call option one is we're showing you really sort of the what the possible scope of a project could look like if it involved the old City Hall building. Okay, so this would involve the properties that Josh currently has an agreement with you right here, which is called Building A. And then Building B would really be a tear down and redevelopment of the old City Hall building. Okay? As a possibility. But, you know, it is, as much as that might break some hearts, but nevertheless.
Enjoy that beautiful building?
Yes, no, it is possible. So this option really contemplates an inability to work with adjacent property owners here, like Josh was speaking about, because you just don't know what they're going to do. And I think that y'all, from my limited involvement so far on the project, want to see something get going here. And so this is a plan. While it doesn't involve really the whole block, it involves the ability to move forward with the project that would be of value in the larger sense. So if you look at this plan, really what we're looking at is Building A would consist of about 6,000 square feet of retail or restaurant, which we feel that would be a very good location, and about 31 units of housing above that. And then on Building B, which is the old City Hall site, that would involve about 9,700 square feet of what we'd say office or retail is probably appropriate use. There probably leans more office than retail. And then roughly 72 units of residential, meaning like one and two bedroom apartments. So with this kind of mass of roughly 16,000 square feet of office, retail, restaurant, and about 103 units, this starts to get kind of a critical mass where you can really work with some efficiencies and develop a pretty cohesive project. Okay? So this is kind of what we call option one. Option two is just the next page on your slides, or on your packet there. And this is really has all the same data, but there's an addition of the corner piece where the Heritage Building is. And we kind of programmed that to include two floors of office in that case, so that's about 11,300 square feet. And then floors three and four would be roughly 16 units. So we see a total project scope of roughly 6,000 square feet of restaurant retail, about 21,000 square feet of office and retail, and then roughly and, you know, our mission is to, we are actively engaged in trying to acquire those two properties and kind of make that a cohesive development. I think you guys already know that Josh owns the Heritage Building, and we would basically do more office space there in response to what we determined, like, are some pretty meaningful needs for the office space in the downtown core. So that is pretty much it, and then if you guys turn to the front page, you know, you can kind of see some elevations that, you know, that would be pretty representative of what we would intend to do there. Really four floors, really try to, you know, at the corner there, Broadway, and Main, we really try to do a nice focal entry there. That's a really good restaurant location, we feel. And this particular elevation that you see, you know, on the left-hand side is kind of without the Heritage Building area, and on the right-hand side includes it. And the architect, well, has done a really good job of kind of, you know, planning for what could happen with, you know, whether we get properties or not, and then, you know, sort of how things could look if they're cohesively developed without really dependency on things that aren't in our control. And obviously, you know, as part of this project, we would need to work with the City of Meridian on the old City Hall site and all those issues and go through whatever process that would have to be had publicly for disposition of that property, but nevertheless, this gives you an idea of what's possible. So that was our intention really today, was to, and as you can see, probably one final note, on the option, either option, you know, for the existing property that you have with Josh now where he's developing, you know, that project we've been able to constitute it as, you know, roughly 6,000 square feet and 31 units of housing. Now, from a personal point of view and just a financial feasibility point of view, that's a pretty small project, you know, and it doesn't quite work financially I mean, just from my point of view, it's not like a project we'd go pursue as a development company. I might be inclined just to help Josh with this, just out of the sake of, you know, taking care of this guy that's, you know, not a developer necessarily, but, you know, it's just not a big project. It's hard to attract capital to it. It's inefficient to build, and those are some of the challenges it faces, okay? Not like it's impossible, though, just to be clear. Just might not be able to make the returns very good and make it a feasible project that way. And costs are moving like crazy, as you guys know.
Right.
That's the other element to it. So that really is just what we had for you today, and I think one of the outcomes would be nice to hear from you guys if you felt that us pursuing a larger project and going through that process is a worthy endeavor, or if you're just firmly committed to trying to, you know, make this smaller project work that Josh already has an agreement with you on, and just giving direction that way. And I understand you can't speak for the city and that there's a process associated with that, but nevertheless, we wanted to get some direction for you, from you, and then see what you thought about the concepts that we laid out in front of you. And that's what I have for you.
Could we be clear on one thing? You have an option one and an option two,
yeah,
which involves all of that block except for the Bank of Cascades building. Is there an option 1A, as you're describing, that would be if you weren't able to work out an agreement with the city, that it would just be the two buildings on the corner that would be developed? Is that what I'm hearing?
I mean, that's we didn't depict that, but you can kind of piece that together, obviously, from, you know, the option two.
Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, take off the city hall and look at those two together. That starts to get a little more critical mass and possibly make it to where, you know, now you kind of really become dependent upon who do you have as an office user and who do you have as a retail restaurant user. I think you'll recall at the last meeting I spoke about the need for like an anchor project, if you will, or an anchor use. And when I look at developing 119 units of housing, that's a solid anchor. And the meaning of that is that I can kind of speculatively go forward and develop 119 units of housing and have all these other costs associated with office and retail, but I'm willing to take on the risk of not necessarily having a lease in that case, because I've got an anchor of 119 units of housing that's very strong, allows me to go, I'm going to get that done, I'm confident about that phase of the project, and so I don't have to worry about assigned lease for my restaurant space or assigned office lease, you follow. When the project scope starts to shrink substantially, and let's say it just includes, you know, the Heritage Building and the Site A, we're calling it, where Josh has the contracts now, then I'm like, okay, that's not quite enough units to be a very strong project. It's too small. And now I'm forced to like, okay, I better have my signed office lease, or I better have my restaurant space signed up. And so it just, you know, it definitely throws some uncertainty into the process because of the commitments that I need to go forward.
Yeah, well, the main reason I brought that up is because Josh referenced the fact that he's drawing permits to knock down the building. And
yes.
So I assume that something is going to go there, you know, in some form or fashion, scope-wise. You know.
Yeah, I mean, so I won't speak for Josh, but I mean, part of his duties under his agreement,
yeah,
he's moving forward with demolition. We're assisting with that. You know, we're just doing lead-based paint and asbestos testing. It's appropriate. You do that, make sure there's none in there, then you go in and you tear it down. Under the scope of your agreement, that's one of the costs that you're being reimbursed for,
mm-hmm,
is what I understand. So that's happening, just as to clear the site. Whether he can make a feasible project work, that's, you know, that's to be determined.
Okay, look, there are a few members of this board that have been on for quite a while, and where we had Destination Downtown and we've had plans for this block. I'd really like to hear from them in regard to your concept as well, because we have had many discussions block, something done with it. Yeah. So,
Mr. Chair, I guess the city joined MDC and having the public property considered for a larger project, and at that time, in order to do that, the city would have had to give the property over. As part of that, and that would have been for
city considers selling this property, that's a different thing. Then you go through, I don't know, our attorney could probably tell us what that process would be, but you'd have to put that out for a bid. So that aside, whatever the technicalities are, destination downtown, envision live work, and part of a vibrant downtown is having people live downtown. How we would do it procedurally, and I think that those details would have to be worked through. But I think this is nice. My concern would be parking. 119 units and 100 plus parking spots is a concern for the residential piece. So that's, I think, where MDC would have to come in as well, is how you're going to park this project. And in my opinion, and in my memory, that's why MDC was created, was about parking. I think it's intriguing. I think we definitely want to the vibrancy and opportunities for downtown to see what we do, and if this is part of an outreach looking for other proposals, then we do it that way too. But it's exciting.
Well, you mentioned parking, and I didn't go into mentioning one of the things that we thought was important for this project, but with residential, it's pretty important that the parking spaces for the residential component of the project are close to the residences themselves. So the property is actually parked with roughly one space per unit there on site for the residents. Another important feature of the project, just to know, like how we propose it, is that Idaho Street would be effectively restriped, redone in such a way to allow angled parking on both sides of Idaho Street. And that's roughly about 56 spaces, and we felt that that's really important for like the retail office components of the project. So, you know, from a parking standpoint, I think one major important part would be kind of restriping, redoing Idaho Street in such a way to add the angled parking there. But all the other parking pretty much is as it is today, other than on site, you know, would be really important to have that. The other thing I'll just mention is that I know the bank is actively interested in having conversations with us. We haven't had those conversations yet, but they have, you know, they're over real estate there in terms of they've got extra office space, and, you know, there's some inefficiencies in their parking lot. There's some things that we could do there that actually improve the situation as well. But for now, you know, we've kind of just put forward a plan that doesn't rely upon having them involved either, although we think they're willing partners.
There is a potential there.
Yes. Yeah. So I apologize I didn't address parking in the initial thing, but I'll stop and let the rest of the members say.
Well, you did on your options, you showed covered parking.
We did do that, yes. Yeah, I just did some areas. Yeah.
Commissioner Burke,
I think it's a great wish. I hope it can be done. I would like to see Building A at least started and done. That would be a big addition to that. Maybe bring some other, and like Tammy said on the old city hall, if we probably would have to, if we're going to sell it, we'd have to declare it as baggage and put it out for bid. It's beautiful. Schematics look fantastic. I'd love to see that building A 18 months sitting over there. cheaper to go up than go out. Once you get the foundation going.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, you got the parking, you need the parking.
Mr. Chairman, if I could ask a question of Caleb and Josh. So, building A, initially we had talked about office in that location. Is there a reason why office has been removed from that? And in terms of if we could go up an additional floor, could we replace that again? Because one of the things I just keep hearing is we don't have enough office space in downtown. And while I look at option under option two, we would have a total of about 20,000. I don't know if that's enough at the end of the day with a full build out. And so just a question, your train of thought as you all were putting this together.
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, any floor kind of is interchangeable, right? Sure. So the second floor of that building could certainly be office. I think that we would just have to look at sort of like the ancillary uses like trash disposal, things like that, and then parking convenience. One of the things that we thought that, you know, probably during the daytime, a lot of the parking could happen for office, especially it could happen further away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or it could happen on Idaho Street. And really sort of depends on the use, because we, you know, if we have the 50 something spaces on Idaho, then, you know, that could be pretty easy for office. But the reality of it is that we kind of went with more of a heavy residential focus because, you know, we know residential so well, and we also know that we don't really need to have to worry about signing leases and things like that to go forward. But to your point, it's very easy to just, you know, it's roughly 6,000 square feet per floor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so, you know, a second floor would be roughly a 6,000 square foot addition to the office, you know, area. And the heritage side of the project, we kind of went with two floors of office there because it matched up to what the heritage building's already being used as.
Right.
And then we started the residential above that. But, you know, we would, as we get into the project closer, those kinds of changes are actually pretty easy to make.
Okay. Yeah. Just curious. Thank you.
Yeah.
If you guys remember, part of the whole mess of last summer was when we had all of our commercial leases kind of like all racked and stacked and everything. And then as Meridian Cycle went north, you know, of Carlton and everything, it's one of those things. And they're just, then all of a sudden the numbers just started like if that happened. Instead of being an austere build out for a bike shop, if we had to start planning for it to be a restaurant, then we were seeing hundreds of thousands of dollars in shift in terms of cost, and that's what propagated that. So you know, our emphasis on looking at the residential piece and also just getting more density of living in Meridian. Mm-hmm. Like we just, you know, a lot of these businesses that exist here today just need more people living down. Mm-hmm.
I've got a real concern when you're building a parking for restaurant patrons. It's as you know, we as we get older and lazier, we don't want to walk very far.
I would ask, you know, sometimes downtowns are true destinations, right, where people come. And I would, I don't know because I haven't studied it, but I would also wonder, like, you know, how do the other restaurants, do they have convenient parking? You know, maybe you guys know this. Do people walk to the stores, to the restaurants? You know, that's kind of a question, like, so what's the culture here? prepared to do that. And you know, my approach would be probably that, you know, my understanding is that the City Hall parking lot generally in the evenings, you know, absent an event of some kind or a contentious council meeting, is generally available, right? I mean, I don't know that for a fact. This is kind of what I've heard. So I mean, that's pretty convenient, you know, for this if this were a restaurant. And I'm not like the super smart restaurant guy. I'll just tell you, like, we don't do a ton of restaurants, and so they might say, oh no, absolutely, we'd rather be over here or here, and we'd like to have this angled parking, and that's the most important thing to us, and you know, that might come up, you know, to your point. But I think it would also be good to understand sort of how the other restaurants, you know, are operating downtown. There's a flatbread pizza restaurant, so that, you know, that kind of stuff would factor into that, I think.
My bed's got that little parking, the building's got the little parking, half and half city, which we partnered with them to get that parking lot back there. A lot of street parking and stuff, but what the rent that Josh is going to have to pencil out, you're gonna have to have as much traffic. And we got, and you've got in the off hours, you've got the bank parking, the excess bank parking, stuff like that in our parking lot, and during the 8 to 5 crowd and lunch, you know, you're gonna be successful. You're gonna have to have probably breakfast, lunch, and
so to that point, though, I mean, one of the great things about this, you know, type of use is when you get to mixed residential. And,
I agree. I love it.
You got the daytime opportunity on the residential side for you know, lunch, breakfast type parking, and in the evenings, if you do have the City Hall site, you've got some parking there, which would generally be available. But why we like the corner, I guess, more than anything, is that the way the existing infrastructure is set up there. You end up with a very nice patio, you know, out front. So you can spill that restaurant out onto the sidewalk and have a, you know, it's already set up for it, really. Obviously, you could look at replacing some, you know, putting some angle parking there to replace that, but that's such a nice location for, you know, an outdoor patio type setting that's kind of one of the major reasons we programmed that. And not to mention it's a much more prominent corner than the opposite corner, which is really more of a thoroughfare type corner, where this is traffic mitigating, slow down area type form. Not to mention City Hall traffic, just in general.
Right? Your design and location is beautiful. It couldn't be any better, but we just got to worry about that.
Yeah, gotcha.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was just going to, on the parking issue, I think this just makes the lease, hopefully forthcoming lease with UP, even more incumbent, because then the location would be very, very favorable for a restaurant. And so the good news is we get the keys to the property on the week of the 18th of this month. So they're actually looking forward for a lease agreement from us or a application. And so that's something that we need to start working on really quite swiftly.
Yeah, that was the comment I was going to make. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love 8th Street and Boise.
Yeah.
We all do.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to see downtown.
Sure.
And the other thing, you know, typical restaurants are 2,500 square feet on the large side. So, I mean, if you take a look at, you know, 2,000, 2,500, 3,000 of the biggest, I mean, 6-to-1 park, just that portion of it, that's all the city's going to have to worry about. The other stuff for office of 3-to-1 or 4-to-1 going to work.
Mr. Chair. There's word of this out on the street because I've sent phone calls. There's a big church across the street that uses parking, and I think there's concern. So I think there's, what we need to know is
this is an ecosystem in the downtown, and what each of us do impacts others. And I think we all need to have a similar vision, and certainly we need to have some conversations with the city council and the project. Body wants to go out and consider a larger project and scope, and if it needs to go to an RFP, if there's a purchase of the City Hall site, then that's a separate project, and MDC can do their corner, and the city will need to worry about the other corner. There's just a lot of logistics to this.
Well, and there's a lot of potential for more cooperative work. I think just mentioning the Church of the Harvest, as you did, Commissioner DeVere, not knowing how they may want to work with this project, similar to the Bank of Cascades, mm-hmm. wanting to work with it in a cooperative manner to share parking or do whatever is needed. Because this is going to benefit everyone. First of all, it would bring 119 units. And if you figure maybe minimum of two people per unit or even the one, you're talking about hundreds more people in our downtown area to not only go to the restaurant that would be in this building and the offices or whatever, but also the other facilities downtown. You're going to have more churchgoers in that group of people as well. You're going to have more walkability, people who don't need to use their cars who can get to places downtown. We are working on other leases potentially that would increase parking downtown. You don't know if that restaurant, how high-end it will be. It may have valet parking. So the concern that Commissioner Byrd had, you have the, you know, the handicapped spots that are right adjacent to the building, but if you had a valet who could go bring a car across the street for a customer, that's going to make it easier. This concept, in my mind, does fulfill one of the visions of Destination Downtown, which was to fully develop this block live work capability downtown. So it does do that, but as Commissioner DeVere has mentioned, obviously no good deed goes unpunished. I mean, you know, you have one thing is good and then that triggers something else. And the main is, you know, will there be some kind of congestive nature in terms of parking or whatever that has to be mitigated? And that's a problem solving situation. As far as should you go forward with this, my estimation is absolutely you should go forward with it, but it's really up to you. I mean, are you going to reach out to the city in terms of purchasing the City Hall property? Are you going to go to the Kleiner, Mr. Klein, and the other owners and see, and then come back to us and say, this is where we need your involvement based on all of that research that you do. To me, that's where we are right now. If I'm wrong, Mr. Chair, Commissioner,
I'd just like to, you know, my opinion is I think it's a great looking project and would be, you know, any options would be great if you could do them. All we really control is we have an agreement with Josh that had timelines in it. Are we willing as a board to extend those, basically, is the way I see it. My opinion, I think if we could get any of this, would be great for downtown, and I'm willing to extend it and let them do the work. Yeah.
And as far as the timelines are concerned, Josh, what I'm hearing you say today is that you are going forward with demolishing the building.
Yeah, and that was based on you guys wanting me to tear a building down.
Yeah.
I mean, I had already signed up to pay. So because the transaction happened with the municipal agency in 2017, we had no property tax consequence for 2017. If I was wanting to not pay property tax on the improvements to that site, I had to tear that building down before the end of the year. But with all this stuff and trying to do proper due diligence for this project, Lori and I just signed up for paying property taxes, even though there's nothing in that building. It's just vacated, like it's got insurance on it. But we decided we'll pay property taxes on that improved property for 2018. In talking to Mr. Squires about a month and a half ago, or a month ago maybe, she's like, we'd really like to see some progress. Can you tear a building down? And I was like, yeah, if you guys want me to tear a building down, public, but we're still going to be working our end to really understand how do we make this pencil, because it's not, I think Caleb's being very generous. I don't even know if I would accept that generosity to just say, hey, we're not going to look at the big site plan, just build this phase A. Like, I don't want to put people at risk just to help me out, because at the end of the day, if the project just does not pencil because we don't have enough economies of scale, then why are we doing it? So I'm not going to ask him to take risk that's inappropriate. So that's why we're trying to understand what the bigger piece is. We've already been in engagements, talking, you know, and starting to share some of this vision with the city. We've already been doing that with the current property owners that wrap around the Heritage Building. So we're doing our pieces to try to understand how do we make this thing pencil. We've not had engagements with, you know, I mean, we've, at this point, everybody's talking about it. So there's, you know, I don't care anymore about, you know, executive sessions. I just don't. We're either going to be forward thinking as a city and go get some shit done, or we're not. And my fear is that we're going to get in a do loop, and I want to make this guy happy. I want the problem of parking. Like, we should start forcing the issue on this and make it really uncomfortable. Like, you know, right now we talk about what parking do we have currently for restaurants. Everybody gets to park right in front of their thing. That's not downtown. I don't go down to Boise and expect to, like, nobody does. Nobody expects to park right in front of PF Chang's. Like, nobody has a problem going to the parking structure that's a half a block away, having to walk down 20 flights of stairs and go around the floor. Nobody cares about that. But somehow, when we get to downtown Meridian, it's like, oh, gosh, I've got to be able to park within 4 feet of the front door, or else, you know, it's not good. And boy, I lose this parking for the church over here. And let's start introducing some problems. Otherwise, we're going to be 10 years down the road and be looking at the same vacant spaces and not doing it.
Mr. Chairman, my dad, on the parking too, I see it as kind of like a bound crossing development on a little bit larger scale with other uses around it that they may not have down there. But I think that probably, I mean, it took some time for that to get successful, but I think that's an example of what people are willing to do. You know, there is some street parking right in front of restaurants there, but people are used to parking, you know, the equivalent of probably 2-3 blocks of walking distance away to, you know, park behind a building, walk around, and come back. So I definitely think it's something that would be acceptable by the, you know, the consumer, the end user. It's just the, you know, the volume of parking, I think, and where it is, what it is, you know, that can be figured out, to just make sure that there is sufficient parking somewhere to accommodate it all.
Yeah, and this basically is what is drawing you downtown. If something is drawing you, you're willing to do that little extra walking that you're talking about, Josh. And so, you know, it's something we've dealt with constantly, and it is a reality that we have to deal with. It isn't insurmountable by any means. I think as we've proven in our downtown parking studies that we've done up to this point, where we've pointed out all the adjacent parking that there is around that can be utilized, and that exercise is a good thing. I mean, you know, Mayor Tammy promotes good exercise. Well, walking from a parking space to a restaurant is good exercise, especially after you eat. You know, so anyway, you know, we're very impressed with what you brought to us, and obviously there's still a lot of homework to be done, a lot of, you know, analysis and groundwork, and a lot of communication with people that we're not actively involved with as a board that you can be involved with and to bring back to us. So going forward, do you want to kind of recap where we are and going forward what will be done and what kind of a timeline we're working under?
Mr. Chairman, a couple of board members have kind of summarized the key points. I'll just point out a couple of other things or put a finer point on that. As Commissioner Winder said, we've got our agreement with Josh, in the short term, we may need some time extensions. If this becomes part of a bigger picture, we may need some other tuning to the agreement as far as concept plans and whatnot. But just a willingness on this board, you have to take some action to pursue violation, and then there's a cure period and all of that. So I think just some general direction from this board to consider this. We can explore how that more immediate amendments to his agreement might be needed. If Caleb moves forward with his vision, that and it's private property participating with Josh, that would just maybe necessitate some amendments to our agreement, but doesn't require any RFP. The changes can be part of us. If Caleb and his group want to do some public improvement reimbursement, we can have an owner participation agreement. Again, doesn't require an RFP. But the city parcel that Commissioner DeBeard mentioned, that may or may not. For the city to dispose of it, we talked about this in the past, they have some stricter requirements than we do as an urban renewal agency as far as the structure of their project and auction or bids and whatnot. We, as Commissioner DeBeard mentioned, the city and MDC put this out, this whole block out for an RFP a couple of years ago. And the question would be, is that sufficient? Under our policy, once you do that, and we didn't get any bids, really, we can move forward with something else. But some time's passed, so we kind of have to think about whether another RFP is needed or not. And then, depending on what happens with the city, the city could potentially give it to MDC, and MDC has more flexibility in disposing of that. Whether that's part of another RFP or the previous one is sufficient is part of that discussion. So the RFP question kind of revolves more around the potential old city hall and what happens with that. Caleb said they're not looking at having the MDC acquire property and dispose of anything else that we don't already have an agreement for with Josh. So those are kind of the layouts. I think some just general direction from this board to explore options on how this might be accomplished would provide us with some direction on whether what kind of amendments to explore with Josh and take a look at the RFP question.
In your estimation, Todd, based on our current agreement with Josh, do we need to do an amendment at this meeting or a January meeting?
Mr. Chairman, we haven't really teed it up for the agenda today, so I don't think we need to do an amendment at this meeting. This board has to take some action to say, Josh, you're in violation of the agreement, and then that formal question would have a 30-day resolve period. If you just want to say, let's bring back a potential amendment with Josh to the next meeting, we can do that. I don't think it requires any more formal action from this board, because we'd want to see what that amendment would look like and what kind of timelines we might be looking at in light of a potential bigger picture.
Mr. Chairman,
Commissioner,
a question. Either declaring that we're out of compliance with the current one, which is 703, and as I read the current agreement we've got that says upon successful completion of 703, 713 comes into play. So we've got a couple of issues that need to be dealt with, whether you do that with an amendment or a new contract, but I think the other issue is that currently we're out of compliance with 703, so I think I remember that it had language in it. Not take care of that does not constitute our ongoing forgiveness in the thing. And I think that's, I'm assuming that's what you're driving at. We need to say either we're going to issue a letter of the agreement being out of compliance, and then at a later time restructure that agreement to combine the 703 and 713 into a single agreement. Because as I look at it now, it clearly says in at least two documents that says upon completion of 703, I think Josh has made it clear that 703 is not financially feasible. So I think we've got to do something with that agreement in terms of, and then maybe some, we do a new agreement and say, okay, we're going to do it as a combined one, and here's some deadlines in terms of our expectations, plans, blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. So am I correct in that?
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Ritter, yes, you've hit on some of the concepts that need to be addressed potentially bigger picture. 703, I think everybody recognizes we're behind the deadlines, and it's a question of whether this board wants to start the formal process of you're in violation, you have 30 days to cure. You don't have to do that. That's kind of your choice to pursue that formal process versus just looking at an amendment that would help adjust the time frames. We have those bigger picture issues to look at as far as 703 and 713 and how this may combine into a larger project. As you mentioned, Josh has said 703 by itself just doesn't pencil. He has the option under the current agreement to still purchase 713. If he exercises that option, he can. But the renderings and those kind of things that we have in place now don't really fit with this, so that would be part of the bigger picture. We have to amend the agreement, but we kind of need an idea, I think, of whether this bigger project fits and how we might approach that before we look at those kind of amendments to the agreement with Josh. I don't know if it makes sense, and I don't think it does make sense to amend the renderings and the design without knowing how this may move forward. And the key component to that from our perspective, I think, is the city property and how that may factor into it. So you're right in that we have to have some larger scale amendments to it. We don't have to pursue the formal violation now. I think everybody knows that we're not in compliance with the timelines. You can if you want. That just gives Josh a formal 30 days to cure it. I think we don't. Josh's cure on the 30 days for the 703 ultimately doesn't pencil if it's just 703, as he said. So I think it's kind of it's up to you how you want to proceed, but you kind of need to know a little bit more about the larger potential game plan before you make too many adjustments to Josh's agreement.
Okay. Any other questions?
Mr. Chair, I think we should ask our legal advisor to work on that amendment and also to have Ashley engage in the outreach of neighbors. This is public property, and I appreciate your private perspective because that's the easier route that this public property. And we have a responsibility to our neighbors to be transparent and open and consider any impact it has on others. The next step certainly I'm glad Caleb's in the room because he will be tasked on what we're supposed to be doing on our side in laying out the options to council who has not seen or heard anything about this. And so we'll need to also get that on our agenda to have an update and to consider what would be the appropriate steps as well on the city side.
Tammy, our agenda meaning the city agenda or MDC agenda?
City agenda.
Oh, city agenda. Okay. I think that we're at a point right now that if we're going to do any amendments to our current agreement and all that, it should be done in conjunction with what the plans are, that we're not doing things piecemeal to put a Band-Aid on something and then we're going to move forward and change it again and again and again. I think we do need to know what the scope and the timeline is going to be, and if there's going to be a parallel track, if you're going to be working on, working with the city and working with private owners to develop the full block, while at the same time working on the Part A part and going forward with that, or are we going to wait and do it all at one time? I think we need to know some timelines and options that are going to be implemented so we do know what kinds of resolutions to make.
Mr. Chair, I guess with this conversation it at least allows the Josh and Kayla to go and take those next steps for the
have had informal conversations, not recently, but years past, with the owners that you're talking to and so forth. And also, we have had informal discussions with other neighbors as they've raised issues, and certainly that's something that Ashley can do. And if you do come up with a definitive plan and you have to go for, you know, city planning for permits, then you are going to have public hearings and you're going to have the involvement of the community in terms of their concerns or whatever, just like we've had to do with 2.5 Street and the other projects that we've worked on. So there is a public hearing process that will be initiated, and Ashley, you've always had good contacts with people just to let them know so that we aren't working by rumors as much as by as many facts as we're able to share.
Great. Well, we'll I don't know when you guys have your next meeting and you want to do an update, but we got our feedback, thank you. You know, and this allows us to go through the tactics that we need to regarding acquisition of other properties, getting agreements in place, getting something to the city of Meridian as a request for what we're interested in, as to start whatever process needs to be started there. And I think we've accomplished what we want to accomplish today. And then as far as the agreement, I think what we would do is we'll take the time, because we're not, you know, a party to that or familiar with that agreement as much, and we'll review it and we'll try to see if we want to propose an amendment to it for Josh that will encompass what we want to do in the future. That's the action plan that I think we can take. Yeah. If that works for you guys. Okay.
We can have that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Your private sector, right?
And you can have the city council meeting tomorrow for us as well.
Sure.
And we do have members of the public here today, and on our agenda, we do have room for public comment. So if any of them want to make a comment, you want to stay around and hear what they have to say right now.
I'm happy to hear what you guys say. So
I just, that's the invitation to everyone who is sitting out there in the audience, that there is a time where today you can make some comments.
Well, thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Great.
So a little bit of clarification. So are we going to, so we're expecting that we're going to get an update on 703-713 at the next meeting? I think Josh needs to know and understand that our expectation is that within the next 30 days, we're going to get his thinking on the combination of those two pieces.
We're expecting Josh and Caleb to be in communication with our council and our administrator in terms of what next steps we need to take. That's my understanding.
Okay.
Anything
else?
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I did not receive a written report from Brighton this month. I think they've been just crazy busy. We did talk with John Wardle, and we're working on the OPA, or the Owner Participation Agreement, modifications that are needed. We anticipate bringing that back to this board in January, which would include some modifications that they've made on the city side of things. It's just more of a just making sure everything's up to date with the city approvals. And then Council Lakey and I, along with our accounting team and auditor, will be sitting down with the county to look at how increment will be dispersed to this agency for 10 Mile and how we can track it just from a accounting standpoint, and to make sure our audits are as clean as possible continuing next year as well. For those disbursements back to Brighton Corporation, because we will start reimbursements in fiscal year 18.
Any questions? Okay, upcoming meetings.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, in your packets are the upcoming committee meetings between now and the next board meeting. We will have our committee meetings next week, so please be prepared for that. Property committee will have a request from a stakeholder who is interested in making a financial request, and so as soon as I receive that, I will be forwarding that to the board, and we will have our next meeting on January 10th.
Councilor?
Nothing further, Mr.
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I think, hold on, public comment. I reference public comment. Is there anyone who would like to make a comment on anything we discussed or any potential new issues? Jim?
Jim S. Park, 725 2nd Street. I think it's awesome that we have the Pacific companies investing in downtown Meridian. These are big developers, lots of multifamily development they do all across California. And the fact that they partnered up with Josh's heart and soul energy that he puts into this and put Walton in the mixture, who's been an advocate for downtown Meridian, this is just very exciting.
Jim, you were on the board for quite a number of years, and you were on when Destination Downtown was implemented and all of that. And the discussion of that block, what is your memory of our discussion of the development of that block? Do you recall?
I don't recall what the plan said, but I do recall we went out to RFP, and that was a big deal, to try to solicit this to happen. Of course, that was when the market was doing so hot, and so we didn't really get any opportunities back. I don't know if that's still a viable tool that the NBC could use to support any sort of modifications to this partnership and whatever that partnership could become, or the idea of doing that RFP again just to stay above board with whatever partnership the NBC sees in that. But the idea that they have, I think, is the vision of Baldwin, hoping to see in one of our downtown core blocks. And that was the reason why we went to RFP on that core block, is because we had so much influence and it had the right age of buildings and just everything fit together nicely. So it's exciting to see.
Great. Thanks, Jim. Always great to see you here, too. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Yeah, my name is Ron Crow. I'm here just for interest. I sort of have some interest. My parents have been involved in. And I'm basically looking at trying to generate some interest for downtown, just like what these guys are trying to do. I was basically looking at the two main buildings originally, is where I started. So I looked at that, and I'm doing some due diligence on the whole core, and then I'm looking at the railroad property to try to generate some interest in all of it. I don't know how far I'm going to get. That's where I'm at. Probably in September, which is the whole concept. I did a subdivision in Meridian in the late 90s and tried to deal with the McFadden's and the market and that whole world. And nothing has happened in downtown Meridian for a long time. And I just trying to get something put together. How far I'll get, I have no idea, but you should have a good, vibrant downtown core, and you just don't have one. The opportunity there is now because of the market. So maybe there to have that, to get all of that done. So that's what I've been doing for about 60 days, just going to the title company, pulling stuff, and looking at stuff. And then I'm going to go and try to raise some money, just like a Pacific Source, trying to look at the whole area. But I initially just started looking at the two main buildings, thinking about a use for those. And I'm still working on that. Talk to a realtor and a banker about those two bank buildings and what we can do with those two bank buildings in today's market. And I'll get some feedback here probably in a couple of weeks on those two buildings.
Okay. You're aware of our property committee meeting that's going to be held next week, and you're more than welcome and invited to come to it and talk about your concepts and your ideas.
Okay, I'll do that. But that's what I'm doing. Rick River got me involved originally. Brought me to the first meeting in July. Got me started.
Well, we're glad to have your involvement and your interest in downtown. And like I said, if we work through our committee meetings, we can discuss in more detail what your ideas are.
Yeah, I'll be more than happy. I'll have more detail here in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
I'm doing a lot of stuff. So anyway, I'm working with a banker and a realtor on some usage.
That's probably good. Talk to Ashley or
history about everything as well. So.
Yeah. Plus, I know Keith Bird from the racetrack.
Oh, and Keith Bird is his album that they
produced. Oh, yeah. He goes back a long way with my father, Keith Bird. So. Okay.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you so much. So glad to have you involved in downtown as always. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, as far as my report is concerned, I just want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and have an enjoyable holiday season. I won't see everyone until February because I'll be spending holidays with some other children in California, but my thoughts will be with you, and I hope that you all have a great holiday season. Enjoy it, really. Thank you so much, and now adjournment.
I move we adjourn.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.